Okay, one time the Baal Shem Tov told some of his Talmidim, we're going on a trip. Whoever wants can come in the wagon. And of course, those Talmidim ran to go in the wagon with the Baal Shem Tov to see where are we going and what's going to happen. It's always some exciting, interesting thing that happens with the Baal Shem Tov. The wagon starts to go, and the Baal Shem Tov tells the wagon driver, you can fall asleep and let the horses go by themselves. And of course, the wagon driver, who was a goy, was used to this. He goes schluffy on top of the wagon, and the horses are going by themselves, and they just go and they go. Finally, near the late afternoon, they came to the middle of a very, very big field, a huge, empty place. And it seems that it was even off the road, the middle of this big field. And the Baal Shem Tov says, okay, we're going off the wagon here, and we're going to daven minche. They go off the wagon, and they daven minche next to the wagon, because you're not allowed to daven in the middle of a field, because it says that you won't have any kavana, because it's like you feel spread all over the place in the middle of nowhere. You have to be near some kind of a wall or a tree or a wagon, so they daven next to the wagon. And then, after Mincha, the Baal Shem Tov took a bottle of mashke, and he took a stick, and he went over to the dirt of the field, and with a stick he dug a little hole, and he poured the mashke into a cup, and he poured the cup into the hole. And he looked down towards the hole, and the Baal Shem Tov says, L'chaim, L'chaim. And of course the Talmidim are wondering what's going on. The Baal Shem Tov digs a hole in the ground, and he pours the L'chaim, and he says, L'chaim down in the hole? I mean, that's very strange. What's going on? And the Baal Shem Tov says to his Talmidim, you probably want to hear the story of what I'm doing. Well, I'll tell you. And this is the story. Are you ready for the story? Did you boys ever hear this story before? No. You just thought you did in the beginning because it starts like a few other stories, but this is a brand new story. A long time ago, Kindalach, there was a big Talmud Chacham, and his name was Naftali. And Naftali had a wife, and Naftali sat and learned Torah, and Naftali's wife was the one who worked for the money. Like it happens these days, and it used to happen in those days many times, a man would sit and learn, and his wife would work that he should be able to sit and learn. And Naftali's wife had a little store that sold things. And from the money, they lived. Now, Kindalach, one day, a galach came into the store. Now, it's an open store. Anybody can go in. So, you know, Jews and non-Jews used to go shopping there. But this galach didn't go shopping there just because he wanted to buy the things of the store. He went with a plan. This galach went with a plan. Since he knew it was a Jewish store, there's a mezuzah on the door. And he sees a young woman inside, and he asks people around, you know, he knows she's married and she has a husband who's a Talmud Chacham. He thinks to himself, wouldn't it be nice to catch this big Talmud Chacham, this young man, the husband of the woman in the store, wouldn't it be nice to catch him in my trap? Which means that he wants the Talmud Chacham to Chas V'Shalom to become a goy and to go to his church. Now, as we've had in other stories, there's a certain kind of it's almost like a game, like a taiva, like a very big wanting that some of these galachim have, that the biggest prize, the biggest catch, the biggest score in the game is to catch a Jew and to bring him to his church, to make him chas v'shalom to be a goy. And this particular galach wanted to do that. Like in other stories, we had tadus, right? By them is the biggest thing. Now also it sounds a little bit like the snakey in Gan Eden. Remember what happened? Snakey really wanted to go to Adam to get him to eat from the tree. But he didn't go straight to Adam. How did he get to Adam? Through his wife, through Chava. And through her, he got to him. Same thing. Mr. Snakey over here is the Galach. And he's going to the wife who works in the store. But his main kavaneh, his main intention is not to get to the lady, is to get to her husband, to Naftali, the Talmud Chacham. And the Galach goes into the store. Oh, what a lovely little store. Oh, aren't these beautiful things in this store? I think I'd like to buy some of these things for my house because it'll make my house so much more beautiful. Oh, these are such lovely, nice things. And of course, he talks so nice and so pleasant. And the woman was not afraid of the Galach because, you know, he didn't speak anything bad to her. He just spoke nicely. And he told good things about all of the nice, beautiful things in her store, which she made. And he bought a few things, you know, which was business for her. And fine, and he left. A few days later, the Galach came back. Oh, I had to stop and see your lovely, beautiful store to buy a few more things for my house. Because when I brought them home, my wife was so happy, and she wanted to buy more things. So I'd like to buy a few more things for the house. And by the way, what's your name? And what's your husband's name? You are married, aren't you? Yes, so his name is Naftali. What does he do? Why isn't he working in the store? Oh, he sits and learns. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just the best thing? He sits and learns. And you take care of making the money. And the Galach spoke so nicely. And a few days later, he comes back. Oh, what a lovely day. I was just taking a walk, and I wanted to stop in and say hello, and ask how you are, and how is your husband, and how is his learning? And this is how it went. Until the woman felt like friendly with the Galach. And one day he came in. How are you? How is your husband? Isn't it a lovely day? And the woman in the store was very upset about something. Oh, you seem upset. What's wrong? You can tell me after all. I'm your friend. And I'm so concerned about you and your husband. What's bothering you? Something looks like it's wrong. I can tell in your face. Well, she says, my husband Naftali is not feeling well. He's very sick. And the doctor is worried that the flu that he has is going to chas v'shalom become pneumonia, which is very serious. I'm very concerned for my husband. He seems to catch colds very, very easily. And he gets a cold many times, and it turns into a flu, and the flu it lasts a long time. He's not able to go to learn. He doesn't feel good. He's very sick. He's in bed. I'm very worried about my husband. Oh, the Galach says, I'll tell you some medicines that I take. They always help. Let me write them down in a paper, and you can get them from your doctor. I'm sure your husband will feel better. And you know what? You know what another nice thing is if a person's sick? I think you also have it in your Torah. Visiting the sick, after all, I visit the sick too. Can I visit your husband? Can I come over to your house and visit your husband? I'm sure he'll feel better. I'll tell him funny stories. I'll cheer him up. Let me come over to your house and meet your husband. I never even met him. Kinalach, this is exactly what the Galach wants, a way to get in. And the woman said, well, I guess it's not going to hurt if you come over to visit my husband and cheer him up with your funny stories and your smiling face. Oh, yes, the Galach says. Yes, I always do that to the people from my church. I just, you know, cheer them up. They feel better. You know, a person that feels better because he's happy, it makes him to be feel better if he's sick. Let me come over now. And the woman Kinloch brought the galach over to her house to meet her husband. And at first Naphtali, who was in bed, sees a galach walking to his house, and his wife had spoken to him about this galach, and he wasn't very happy about it, but after all, you know, the galach bought things, it is a store, and it's okay for anybody to go in the store and buy things, so, you know, he didn't see any reason to just throw him out of the house. But of course, it depends what the galach is going to say. He doesn't want the galach to speak to, you know, to him about his church or anything. But, you know, the woman said that the galach never did. She said he wasn't one of these galachim that comes in and speaks about church. He just bought things. And he said, oh, isn't it a beautiful day? That kind of stuff. And the galach starts speaking to Naphtali nicely. And he's so concerned for him. And he tells him funny stories. And Naphtali's laughing because the funny stories were just stam, you know, jokes. But they were funny. And Naphtali didn't see anything really wrong with the galach coming to visit him. And then the galach left. And Naphtali said to his wife, I'm so happy he didn't speak to us about church or anything like that, that you hear about these galachim. He was just nice and he was funny. And his wife said, yes. Just, you know, harmless. Well, the galach came into the store every few days buying more things. Until a few weeks later, he came into the store again. Hello, how are you? I'm here. I'd like to buy a few things. How's Naphtali, your husband? I hope he's feeling okay. Oh no, he's sick again. And this time he got such a bad flu. The medicine's not even helping. He's coughing and he's in pain. Oy, I'm so worried. Oh, let me go visit him. I haven't seen him in a few weeks. I'll come over and I'll visit him again. I'm sure that we can figure out a way to help him. Maybe, you know, the summer's coming. I have a little idea. Maybe we can help him to get better, that next winter he shouldn't get sick at all. Oh, yeah? Really? Yeah, I have a plan. And now the galach comes over to visit again Naphtali, who's in bed. And Naphtali was happy to see the galach come in. And after all the nice conversation and the funny stories and the jokes and the laughing, the galach now, Kinloch, started to speak a brand new idea, which of course the galach side of the idea was different than the way he said it over to Naphtali and his wife. The way he said it over to Naphtali and his wife, you know, was a very nice kind of an invitation, as we'll see. But when the galach thinks about what he's saying, you know, he sees a lot differently than the way it comes out. This is called sheker. You know what sheker is? There's true, and there's something that's false. Sheker is false. True means the inside and the outside are the same. Okay, there's no joking around or there's no faking over here. A sheker means on one side it looks very nice. But you know what's on the other side? Something very different. Something that you were fooled by the outside and you didn't know what was really on the inside. Like sometimes it shouldn't happen that you go to a store and they're selling tomatoes in a package. The package has a wrapping over it, you know, cellophane. You could see the tomatoes, but you can't really take them out. So on the outside, they look so beautiful. Red tomatoes. Don't these look wonderful? And then you take them home and you break open the clear cellophane package and you take them out. You look on the other side. Oy vey, they're rotten on the other side. Only the side that looked beautiful was showing. What was on the other side? Rotten, right? I mean, this would be a way of a sheker, where, you know, you want it to look one way, but if you take it and look on the other side, forget it. Now, Kinloch, this is exactly the plan of the galach. It was a half-rotten tomato. It was a really rotten tomato all the way. The galach says, Naphtali, I have an idea. It's coming now, the warm weather, the summertime. Now, in the country where there's clean air and beautiful trees and flowers and birdies, I have my own private little house. And over there in my own private little house, actually I have a few private little houses over there. I own a few of them. I have my own that I usually stay at, which is so beautiful, with a nice garden and trees and flowers. And I have a few other ones also. But I had an idea. I will not be able to go to the country like I usually do right away in the summer. I like to go in the beginning. So my own private little house is going to be empty. So what I have idea, because I like you so much and your wonderful wife, why don't you go out to the country and stay in my own little private house? You'll have the yard for yourself. You can sit out there and learn. You'll have the house for yourself. And you can use my kitchen. I know you have to have special food and special things. So we'll arrange that you can bring your dishes and everything. And, you know, whatever you have to do there, you can do. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. I know you keep kosher. I know you Jews keep kosher food. So you can do whatever you want. And later on, when I come to the country to stay, I'll stay in another house, you know, down the road. I don't mind because I own all of them. And I'll know that you're feeling better. That way, you'll have a summer in the fresh air and in the beautiful, beautiful country, and you'll relax and you'll rest and you'll learn, do whatever you want. And over there, you'll strengthen yourself, you'll make yourself strong and healthy. And when you come back for the winter back home, I'm sure that because you'll be stronger and healthier, you won't get sick. Now, isn't that a wonderful plan? I won't even charge you a penny because, after all, I like you and your wife. Why don't you just think about it? You don't have to tell me right now. Kinelach Naphtali said, no. You know, I mean, it's very generous of you, but you don't have to do that. And the Malach said, and the Galach said, but I insist, it's for your benefit. After all, a strong body makes for a strong soul. And finally, after a couple days, when the Galach came to ask how they are and how Naphtali feels and if he wants to accept his invitation, Naphtali said yes. Naphtali said, okay, what could it hurt to go to the country and stay in a nice house? Do you think this is doing the right thing?
No.
Well, no. There would not be any Getchkes in the house. The Galach, I'm sure, said he would take out the Getchkes. He knows that a Jew is not allowed to be in a house with the Getchkes. It's just a house. Forget about the Getchkes, a house in the country. And so Naphtali and his wife, they packed up their suitcases and they went to the country. They went to the country to stay in the Galach's house. And so Naphtali and his wife, they went to the country, and the Galach had a beautiful little house in the country with a nice little yard and beautiful flowers and trees. And Naphtali would sit and learn. There was no shul there. He would sit and learn in the house. He'd daven in the house. And they would sit outside and enjoy the air. And for a while, everything was nice, and everything was good, or so it seemed. Until a few days later, the Galach came up to also go to the country. And he stayed in another house just down the road. And you know who came over to visit every single day to Naphtali and his wife? The Galach. After all, he's just down the road. He's so close by. And after all, he is staying in their... I'm sorry. And after all, they're staying at his house. So they feel that if he comes over, After all, it's his house. He can come over anytime he wants. When he came to the store, it was every few days. When he came over to visit in their house, it was only because Naphtali was sick. But now the Galah is coming every single day. Oh, how nice it is to have you. What a beautiful day. Let's sit down and talk. And more, Kinalach, he was with them. And also, there were two doors to the house. One was a front door, and one was a side door. Now, the Galach didn't always knock when he came in. After all, it's his house. Sometimes he came into the front door, and sometimes he came in through the side door. And the side door led through the kitchen. And Naphtali and his wife did not know it, that when the Galach came through the kitchen, he had in his pocket pieces of treife meat. And when he passed by the pot on the stove that was cooking the kosher meat, he very quietly lifted up the pot and he slipped in a piece or two of his own flesh and he put it in the pot. And they didn't know that his flesh was cooking in their pot. And he did that because this was a part of his plan to make them, to make especially Naphtali, chas v'shalom, to go away from Hashem and Torah mitzvahs and to come to his church. And he knew a part of that, a part of the halakhite of the Jewish people, is kashrus, kosher food. A person takes the kosher food in himself, he's only taking good koyach, clean koyach. From the kosher animals, from the kosher plants, the good part of it becomes part of his life. And if chas v'shalom, it's not kosher meat, so when the animal, see, the animal has a life. The animal has a life, and it's if it's shechted in a kosher way, so all the bad part goes out of the animal's life, and only the good part is left over. You know, because an animal can be very vild. An animal can have vildkeit. Like a cow could be very wild, right? Now, when a cow is shechted in a kosher way, the life leaves the body, completely leaves the body. Any vildkeit leaves the body, and only the good part is left over, the clean part, the halakha part is left over, and that is what gives the person koyach when they eat the flesh. But if the cow is just killed in a not kosher way, not by a sheichet, and not according to the laws of shechita, not according to Shulchan Aruch, then the life becomes trapped inside. And the not good parts of the life become trapped inside and go into the flesh. And when a person eats that meat, not only the meat goes inside of the person, but the life force, the koyach, goes inside the person that was trapped inside the meat. And they begin to get the koyach of the animal inside of them. That's why kashrus is so important, that you only get the good part of the life. Because the food becomes a part of you. And the Galach knew by putting in treifa meat into the pot, he's going to chas v'shalom make tamei the neshamis of Naphtali and his wife by eating the non-kosher food. And when he came down and he sat and he's talking to them, he starts talking a little bit about church and about getchkes and things that are against Hashem. And because Naphtali and his wife were sitting there in the Galach's house, and they were also eating from the food that they did not know that he was putting in the non-kosher food, so they were listening to him. And they were not getting up to leave, and they're not asking him to leave. And a little bit more, and a little bit more, it sinks into their head. Until Naphtali's wife couldn't take it anymore, and she says, "Let's go home. Something is wrong here. Let's get out of here. I feel uncomfortable about around the Galach. And besides, the store is closed for so long. It's not good to be so long away from the store. People will stop coming. Kinalach Naftali said, you know what? You go on ahead back to the store. I'm just beginning to feel better by being in the country. I'll stay just a few more days, and I'll pack up all of our things, and I'll come back. You go back to the store. I'll stay a few more days, and I'll come back too. And Kinalach, this is what happened. It's very sad. Naftali's wife left. And Naftali stayed, and the Galach, now he came in the early morning, and he stayed till late at night, talking and talking and talking to Naftali. And by this time, Naftali became so tamei from hearing the words and from eating the food, he didn't have the koyach to not listen to the Galach. And he listened to the Galach, and the words went into his head. And there was a little church in the country, and the Galach invited him to go have a look. And you know, I don't even want to say the kinds of things that happened little bit by little bit and how it happened. But sometimes, you know, the Yetzer Hara gets a little way in, gets a foot in the door, and all of a sudden he gets in and he does what he wants. And Naftali became interested in the Galach's ways, and he went and paid a visit even to the church. And little bit by little bit, he went away from Torah and mitzvahs until he did not go back home. He stayed with the Galach. His mind became so mished and fatumult, and he did not go back to his wife. And he ended up moving to a different place with the Galach. And he ended up even marrying the Galach's daughter. He married the daughter of the Galach. Isn't this a terrible, sad story? For somebody to go away from Hashem, this is a true story. It's so sad, but it has a happy ending. Do you want to listen more? Yeah. You see, Kinalach, some stories are so nice and so wonderful, and that's true. Some stories are like this, very sad, and they're also true. And we're not telling them to make you sad. If you go on listening to the rest of the story, maybe you'll see about the way things are in life, and sometimes things go down, and sometimes things go up again. And we should only learn, at this point, never listen to a Galach or a missionary or somebody who comes up to speak to you. Even they start to speak so nicely and they don't tell you anything bad, you should know it's only a beginning of a trap to get you later on to go and do what they want. Okay, there's such a person called a missionary. They're in the street. They dress beautiful. They look like an important, important, beautifully dressed person. Shh. And they come up so nicely. And even here, they come and ring the doorbells on Sunday. And they want to speak to you. And sometimes they'll walk up to you in the street and speak to you. And Kinalach, at first it seems very, very nice. Just like the snakey in Gan Eden. He didn't say anything wrong. In the end, it's a trap. Never even start with them. It's a real thing. I'm not making anything up. They're really out there. Okay. By this time, Kinalach, Naftali lived with his wife in a beautiful, nice house far, far away from where he lived before. And time went on and he lived completely away from Torah and mitzvahs. Until one day, Naftali was walking in his big yard, and by the end of the yard was a little house, and the gardener lived in that house, who took care of his gardens and the trees and the flowers. He was an old man. His name was Peter. And Naftali didn't really know Peter so well. He was just a worker who lived in that house, and he took care, and he did a good job. But one day, as Naphtali walked by Peter's house, he heard crying and sobbing, and it sounded like something terrible was going on, how sad it was that Peter is crying like a baby inside of his house. And very lightly, Naphtali knocked on the door, and he says, Peter, I heard outside that you're crying. What's wrong? Can I help you? Peter says, No, you can't help. Nobody can help. No, you can't help me. And Naphtali just saw that Peter doesn't want to be bothered. And he left for a few, he left, he went wherever he had to go on his walk. And as he came back, again he passed by Peter's little house, and he hears again the crying. Ah! Crying and crying. It's not funny. And by this time, Naphtali was so curious and so feeling bad for Peter, he again went in. He says, look, Peter, maybe you can tell me what's wrong. If you tell a person what's wrong, sometimes it helps. What's wrong? And Peter said like this, okay, I'll tell you what's wrong.